I'm Dan Cederholm, and this is The Simple Bit Show.
I'm really excited about all the new merch coming out, all the t-shirts and stickers leading up to the new font, cartridge, which you've been working pretty hard on.
Yeah, we got some good stuff coming out. Some new t-shirts launching starting this week, and then the new font cartridge comes out next week.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's one of my favorites. At first I thought it was Parkley, but now I think it's actually cartridge, and it might just be because it's got the 80s retro feel.
It's certainly nostalgic, right?
Yeah. Which makes me think about the 80s and music, and I totally checked out Rob Zilla's Instagram and saw his portrait of Bismarcky.
I know, it's
blown
amazing,
away.
Right?
Yeah. Totally blown away.
It's awesome. He's like, his style is has a very distinct, unique style, and that's, but also very realistic style of people, and drawing people is not easy.
And on his iPad.
Yeah, all on the
How
iPad.
How do you even do that? iPad. Did you talk to him about
that? Yeah, we get into that a little bit for sure. And we talk about his work with major sports teams and Biz. He has a good story about Bismarcky using the iPad. And
I'm thinking Robzilla Godzilla? Is that where he came up with that name?
Yeah. Well, he's the vector art monster.
Ah, monster talent for sure.
Super monster talent. And it works for him, I think. I want to see like action figures of Robzilla and like t-shirts, and he's got to get on that.
Yeah, he does.
Have you had coffee yet this morning, Mel?
No, and actually I need to get my own maker at home, because you are so nice and always go out every morning. We have a ritual of you going to get coffee, but I get up earlier than you, so I need my coffee earlier than you. So what do we do about it?
Yeah, well, we got to get an AeroPress then, because this thing is amazing. Our sponsor for this episode is AeroPress, and they're so kind enough to sponsor us again. And this thing's awesome. If you make coffee at home or on the go, it's like super travel friendly. Yes, travel friendly. Thank you. And
see,
it's just awesome.
You need coffee.
I need coffee just to get through telling everyone about this awesome coffee maker. So go to AeroPress.com, AeroPress.com. And thank you again to AeroPress. Back to Robzilla. So I started the conversation by just asking him about his work with professional sports teams, specifically the Washington Capitals.
Oh, cool. And the Capitals are a hockey team.
Yeah, hockey. Yep. Yeah. Hockey.
Does he work with any other sports teams?
Yeah, he's worked with a bunch, and we'll talk about several of them later on in the show. But for now, let's get into his latest project with the Washington Capitals and how that went.
Well, I've done some work with the Caps before. Some stuff for Webb.
Yeah.
Some other assets. And I also did a mural. If you go to my Twitter page, that's the header, like the mural that I did.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah.
I cropped it so that one of my favorite players who left us wasn't in the scene anymore, just so I can keep it current a little bit.
Gotcha. Crop them out.
Yeah, I really wanted that. And shout outs to the Capitals and much appreciation.
Yeah,
but I really wanted that mural on the side of a building, but it was on like a wall that wasn't attached to a building.
Gotcha.
So I knocked
like in
that
their
out.
In their headquarters or something, or like.
This was actually in Southeast DC.
Cool.
I forgot off of what road.
Like, oh, right on. So outside, so people could see it. Everyone.
Yeah,
see it.
So you can see it. But I really wanted that thing on a wall where Caps fans, and near, like not near too much traffic, where Caps fans can be in front of it and pose in front of it. Like that was my mind state.
When
I first drew the thing. That's where I was headed. And you know. Just show up somewhere in DC with your jersey on and stand in front of the players that you admire
right.
and flick it up. I wanted to become a social media phenom.
Exactly. Yeah, it would be like a photo op. Now, when you're designing, when they say, hey, we want you to do it a mural, they give you like, okay, it's, you know, 40 feet by whatever, like the specific dimensions. And or does that change your approach at all? Like resolution wise, like there's a whole bunch of things. I've never done a mural, so it's kind of cool.
Well, I'm the Vector Art Monster.
That's right. I'm going to use that in the intro for sure because I love it.
Yeah. So
the Vector Art Monster. We got him in the house here talking to us.
Yeah, man.
I love it.
Yeah, y'all got me out of the cave. You know, my little lair, you know.
Right.
But
the monster's lair. Love it.
But, you know, when it comes to the briefs and everything, the briefs are pretty loose. And
yeah.
It's sort of like kryptonite too, because they want to give you as much room to do your thing. I want you to give me rules so I can bend them.
Yeah.
So as many rules that you can possibly give me.
Yep.
Like, give it to me and let me bend them. Don't say, Rob, I want you to do this. I just want you to go full Zilla on this. Nah, that's not full Zilla. Like, I got to be. Right. I got to feel like I'm getting over or I'm slightly breaking the rules to really create.
Yeah.
But usually the briefs will come, they'll tell me the number of players. Of course, they'll provide me with the references. And for that particular Caps mural, this was before Adobe Fresco.
Yep.
So I was using Adobe Draw in order to do this for iPad.
Okay, and right.
I did each player individually, but then brought them all together once I exported out to Illustrator.
Ah, I see. Right.
Okay. Now I can go full iPad. I can go 100% iPad now because Fresco gives me all the layers. I can group layers and I can do all this crazy stuff now.
Yeah. So I saw you mention Fresco and I wasn't familiar with it. Is that like a more recent release then? Does it differ from, you know, Illustrator Draw a lot or?
Well, what Adobe created, shouts out to Adobe. They created a playground that's safe for both raster and vector based drawing.
Gotcha.
And painting.
Yep. Yep.
It's almost like the Chinese fighting fish. You get a blue one and a red one, put them in the same tank and they'll kill each other. So for a long time, that was the myth when it came to working with raster and vectors at the same time. Only a few people knew how to make them play together nicely.
Yeah. Oil and water.
Yeah. And speaking of oils, Adobe added in a third element, which was live brushes. So they got the live replicas of watercolor, oil, acrylic, and all this other stuff.
Gotcha.
Yep. The textures and even live action bleeding of watercolors.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing.
So they basically took two apps, they mashed them together, almost like Steven Universe and the gems. So you get two different gems and they come together and they form this powerful gem creation. And that's what Adobe Fresco is.
Cool.
It wasn't, they built it from the ground up. It wasn't necessarily designed to go and attack Procreate. Procreate is its own monster.
Yeah.
Sure. But it did provide something that Procreate did not, and that's Vector. So that's my go-to app right now.
I should know this. Procreate isn't Vector at all then.
Not that I know of.
Okay,
that's why I always get asked, like, yo, why don't you use Procreate?
Yeah. Well, because you're the Vector Art Vector Art Monster. You're not the Raster Art Monster.
Yeah. Now I'm starting to fuse a little bit of Raster stuff in there, but I'm sneaking it in.
Yeah. Okay.
Just because, you know, the abilities to do this, that type of stuff with vectors isn't there yet.
Textures and things, like, gets a little complicated, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And even like pattern brushes.
Yeah, sure.
Things of that nature. Like, that I like to, if you ever see me draw like a rapper with a gold chain, I don't draw the whole chain out. I draw links of the chain, and that gives me freedom to do whatever I want with that chain and change it up.
Yep. Are you drawing at such a high resolution then when you have raster elements in there so that you don't run into scaling issues with it? Or
Well, I checked the purpose first. So right now it's all experimental. It's full screen.
Yep.
So therefore, I don't have to go crazy with the resolution.
Right, right. You're not. It's not a mural painted on a 100-foot thing or whatever.
Yeah, even though with vectors, I'll go, I know they're scalable, but I'll still do like a 2100 by 2100.
Yeah. This is cool. I love this because I'm so beginner still with iPad art and drawing on it, and I really just use the basics. And but seeing your stuff is just sort of mind blowing. The way you can capture, it's just awesome. The way you can capture people so well. That's what's so unique, I think. Like seeing your work all together, it's like, wow, Robzilla captures that person so well. And not a lot of, that's hard to do, I think, without it looking off or cartoony or whatever. Like,
oh, weird.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know how, that's a special, or weird. Yeah. Or just off, right? Like, it's kind of like Bismarcky, but I don't know if it is, you know, like, but you really nail it. And actually, yeah, speaking of Bismarcky, like, you're, portrait of him was just super, super awesome. And he was a talent.
Yeah, Biz, I don't think many folks know, man. They just know him for being like the comedy dude, like someone to laugh at in certain situations. But that's how he padded how much he embodied hip hop. It's scary to know that somebody can embody hip hop from an era that I admire. You know what I'm saying? What we consider the golden age.
Yeah.
I've heard stories about this dude. I even got my own stories about meeting this dude.
Oh, nice. So you met him. Cool.
Yeah. Like, it was crazy. Yeah. We have this spot called Joe's Crab Shack. I think it's a national chain. Hmm. But we had one in Greenbelt in like a long time ago. My folks came up from South Carolina. When I say my folks, I mean four generations of women. My niece, my sister, my mother, and my grandmother, they came to visit us. And I wanted to take them to Joe's Crab Shack. So we went. And everyone else was going in to the restaurant to go ahead and reserve the tables. But I was sitting out in the car with my grandmother because it was crowded. And I was like, I'll just, me and grandma walk in whenever y'all get the tape. We don't need to be around all that noise. Give us some time to catch up. So we're waiting out in the car, and all of a sudden we got the bat signal to come in. So, I help her out the car and we're walking. My grandma's like 93 right now. So, she was up in age during that time. Mobility is not all that great, but she was awesome with it. So we're walking. And she's a little bit shorter than I am, but she's tall. And, we were having a conversation about what we were going to eat. And I could see out the corner of my eye, somebody was holding the door open for us as we started to approach the door. So I was like, grandma, I look like this gentleman is holding the door open for us. And I'll go and look up, and it's Biz.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Biz.
Wow.
From what I was told, Biz stayed in Laurel or Baltimore County. Well, Laurel is divided up into three different places anyways, in three different counties. Laurel, Maryland is what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
And, I was like, thanks, man. He was like, no problem. You know how his voice is. No problem.
Yeah.
Funky. So I then turned to my kids because around the time they were young, they were watching Yo Gabba Gabba. Biz was
doing Biz's Beat of the Day. I love that.
Yeah.
So Biz's Beat of the Day.
I'm going to teach you some sounds.
Yes.
So, I look at my kids and I was like, y'all know who this is?
Yeah.
Of course, my little weird Zillas. No. Dude, y'all watched this on the way here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all were watching this inside of the car. Like, this is Business Beat of the Day. And then, the young one got it, but I don't think my oldest got it. Like,
that's so good.
And, I think he may have shaked their hand. I can't remember. It's fuzzy on that end. But, yeah, that's my business story, man. And
it's awesome.
Yeah. Even though... he has a statue, this level or the celebrity, this level of celebrity, he was humble enough to hold the door for, you know, this lady and her grandson. So,
so great.
Yeah, man.
I love stories. See, this is, I love stories like this about people that, you know, celebrities that we have assumptions about, you know, and to hear that is really cool. And that, and the Yo Gabba Gabba thing is awesome because my kids love that show too. And that's specifically his little segments because it was so great. And it's the way he like ends it and he's just like, bye bye. And he like turns around.
Bye bye. And he like disappeared. Like, he disappeared. Like he threw a smoke bomb down and disappeared.
Exactly.
But speaking of Yo Gabba Gabba, it was cool for kids, but it scared the heck out of adults.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it is.
Unless you were into electric music. If you were into electric music, it was the dopest show ever.
Yeah, true. True.
The compositions in that show was like, oh wow,
really, really creative, and
yeah,
really
even had a dude on there for Whip It.
Yeah,
into shape. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, there was some really good comedy in there. Jack Black, I remember like doing some really weird stuff.
Yeah, man.
And even the guy that he wore like a marching band outfit. I think he was one of the main guys, but like, just such a colorful show. And to see Biz on there doing the beatbox, like, just so cool. I'll link it up. It's on your Instagram, obviously, but your portrait of Biz, so great. You know, it was a nice tribute to him. Speaking of Instagram, too, your Instagram, that's another thing. You got to go to Rob's page in full, the profile, because you take real good care in this sort of triptych, right?
Yeah.
Grid. and it's so cool because, you know, the way you slice it up, that must have started a long time ago. I think if you scroll down, you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, it started. I was trying to find a way to make my Instagram page true to brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm the third. So
yeah. Oh man.
At first I was doing triples.
Yep.
Of different images, and then I was just like, nah, because I had a couple of my images stolen.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, right. I'm going to make it hard for you to steal my bike. You know.
So that's part of it too.
You know, you
got chopping it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Chopping it up. And at the time, I was chopping it up using Adobe Comp.
Huh.
So, but I would set the output out at a lower res.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you would see my stuff on Instagram and be like, this dude talking about this is Vector. Why is it all fuzzy? So nobody can steal my bike.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not throwing no high res up on there.
Yeah.
It's like setting a TV in your front yard. Like, yo, here's a TV in my front yard. I don't want nobody to steal it.
Yeah, because they'd steal it and print it out themselves, right?
Yeah, so, a lot of stuff. Like, let's say, for instance, that Biz thing could become a flyer.
Yeah, sure.
Or somebody put it on a T-shirt to try to make some money off the fact of his demise.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
It's not clout chasing when I do these things.
No, I hear you.
I still get goosebumps when I hear nobody beats the Biz.
Mm, yeah.
The first time the beat comes on, it goes dun 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 dun. He's Biz Markie. I mean, goosebumps right now.
I'm gonna have to weave that into the show.
Yeah, man. Oh my gosh.
Right? If it's under 15 seconds, I think I can do that.
Yeah,
let's get it. Right. That's the rule. That's like the fuzzy way of getting around it. But
yeah, man, and you know, the only time I could really hear it back in the days is like during the Friday night radio shows, the mixes,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And DJs was having fun with that song.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was a big fan. This is maybe funny, but I was a big fan, hip hop fan. When I was really young, too, especially like as I got into breakdancing, and I miss that old style. I really do. Grandmaster Flash and the old Run DMC and I would love for, I don't know. There probably is, like, I probably haven't looked hard enough, obviously, but because I don't keep up with anything these days, but there's gotta be someone doing some old school hip hop still.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's the thing. Everything was so unique back then.
Yeah. So new.
Yeah. We had a terminology. It was called biting.
Biting?
Biting. You wasn't allowed to bite. You wasn't allowed to copy somebody else's style. Like you wasn't going to chew off. You wasn't going to chew off the next person's style and do the same thing that the next person was doing. That wasn't cool. It was a lot of individuality. And I think that's one thing that stuck with me as an artist. Like, I could see you doing something good for you. But if I'm doing something similar, I'm not going to do it the same way. Like, I can't do it the same way so-and-so already doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're not nice with it, like, oh, like he's not really that good with it, but I can't touch that. That's what he's doing.
Well, that's interesting because you have a really unique style. And it's like, you're talking about brand. That's what I think. Like when I see one of your illustrations, I'm like, that's Robzilla. Yes, of course. Like I don't even need to see your name associated with it. I know it's you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did that take a long time to develop? Or and also to add on to that, your inspiration seems to be like sports and music. And did that influence your illustration or vice versa? Or how did those things mesh together, I guess?
I'm still figuring that out, but I got a theory. It's called a June Boy theory. June Boy is my nickname growing up. You know what I'm saying? This is an early Robert Jenner III.
Yeah.
And what I try to do as a mature male is to revisit some of the things that I thought was cool when I was little. Cartoons. You know, things being encased within outlines. Sports, you know, I played sports as a kid. But now, you know, I really flex. I can flex in the sports arena without even having to suit up. I can do it with providing images for a sports team. Just those things. It's a wonderful world right now because I get to time travel whenever I draw these things. And my rubric, so to speak, to make sure that everything is hitting all the check marks is, would June Boy approve of this? You know what I'm saying? Is this June Boy certified or June Boy worthy? Is it Zilla worthy? And I wanted to come up with a consistent style, but as far as the process or the methodology of creating the artwork, I wanted to be able to perform or to execute that style, even if I'm like not 100% physically or mentally. As a freelancer, I got to be prepared for that because, you know, I don't get sick days.
Yeah.
Just like the 9-to-5 person. I can't call out of work.
Right.
You know, I gotta do what I gotta do in order to provide. So if I'm not feeling 100, I developed a style of drawing where I can still draw and make it look like I'm not sick. I'm healthy, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Same quality, same output. Regardless of what's going on in your life, right? Like,
yeah, because nobody cares about that when it comes time to do some work.
Unfortunately, not. Yeah, probably right.
Yourself.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah, nobody care about that. Get out of here. Go take an aspirin.
Yeah.
I need these illustrations, son.
All right. We need it yesterday.
Yeah. And we're not going to pay you extra for the rush.
Right.
And you got to wait 60 days to get paid.
Never. Yeah. There you go. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Now, you last time I chatted with you, this was quite a few years ago, I guess. I mean, on a podcast, I should say. But you were teaching, right? You were teaching and drawing. And is that the same today? Because I know you've got some Skillshare classes, which look awesome. And so that's teaching. So obviously it's in your blood, right? Teaching.
Yeah. Back when we spoke last, I was spinning plates on the Gong Show. So I had to keep the being a high school art teacher, photo teachers, plate spinning while keeping a freelance plate spinning at the same time. And
right.
They're on those wobbly sticks. I had to let the prior go. I had to let the teaching go. Skillshare, shout out to Skillshare, but they provided a way for me to scratch that itch.
Yeah. The teaching itch. Yeah.
Yeah. With me being able to teach exactly what I do, I never had the opportunity really to teach exactly what I do as a profession.
Right.
And it was a gift to not be able to teach that in public schools, but then at the same time, it was a curse. I didn't have to sell my passion to students. I taught photography. I taught darkroom 35 millimeter photography. I showed kids how to use old school cameras.
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
Yeah. They're scared selves. Like, they freaked out when they had to load the camera. And I would laugh and make fun of them.
Yeah. Afraid to ruin the film.
Oh, I'm going to mess up. You're not worried about that when you're taking those crooked selfies on Instagram, you know?
right.
Yeah. So, I had to let that part go. I miss it. I miss it a lot. I wish there was a way I can do it part time.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's not. And I don't really want to work under these conditions anyway that's going on right now.
Yeah. Right.
Teachers are getting a bad rap, but you know, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I mean, I've always said teachers should be millionaires, all of them, because they're like so crucial. I think having kids will do that. You know, it makes you realize just how important they are and how much time and like critical moments of life they are part of and are responsible for. Right.
Yeah. I put in 20 years.
Wow.
Before I let it go. 20 years.
So that must have been bittersweet then, you know, like, I mean, in terms of like, you must have loved having an impact on the kids, but then you also have this passion that you're doing this full time, which is outstanding.
And I just couldn't see it, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a mirror after you take a shower, you know, like you swipe your hand across it, it only exposed part of the mirror. And I was like, yo, I can't see the full picture of me actually just like living off of these vectors, drawing stuff that I love to draw. Like, how can I live off of stuff that I love to draw?
Yeah. Yeah.
Without selling out, you know what I'm saying? And
sure.
If you're into what I'm about to describe, then that's you, but it's not me. So,
yeah.
But like, I didn't have to draw nudies to get attention on Instagram. Even though if I did that now, my following would probably multiply by like 20.
Unfortunately.
You know what I'm saying? Like, look at this Rob Zilla breast he drew. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Zilla Booty. You know what I mean? Changed my Instagram name to Zilla Booty. Yeah.
But, you could always have a ghost name.
I wanted to leave a carbon footprint that if my kids was to Google, you know, they wouldn't see something that would scare the heck out of them about their dad online.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm mindful of it. I know my mother follows me on certain channels and, you know, even down to swears. If you're fortunate enough to be on my Facebook page, I don't swear on Facebook. I put in parentheses expletive.
And you're censoring yourself. That's good.
Yeah. You know, being mindful of what I'm putting out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I think that's a good rule. Like, if you're like, act like your mom is following you, it's pretty good.
Or even better than that, because, you know, some people don't respect their moms. I taught in public schools. But treat what you put out there like coughing. You know what I'm saying? You can't just cough out in the air. You know, there's a certain way that you're supposed to move your body to cough.
Sure.
Out of respect for others. Your words should be applied in the same manner.
Yeah, I like that. Gosh. So we talked a little bit about the Capitals earlier, but I wanted to talk about this. I don't know if it's the latest thing you've done for them, but it was interesting because it was NFT related, which obviously is a hot topic in the design space right now. Yeah, and but that's pretty cool because you did something. I think you designed some NFTs for the Capitals, and it sounded like it was a cool experiment or whatever. But I would love to get your take on how that went and you know what happened.
Yeah, man. You know what is an NFT?
Yeah,
I think I said that to you when you
exactly.
Like, what is an NFT?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about NFTs. What is an NFT? Right.
Well, NFTs are these mystical creatures that live just beyond the mountainside. And during the night, they would come pillage a village. and rob,
this is what
rob,
I mean.
And rob that village of its bits of it, of its cryptocurrency. And if you're able to catch one, then, oh, wow, like you can sell it and really just become, nah, but for real, it was a learning experience for me working with NFTs because I would always see talk about it. As a matter of fact, those three letters ran me off of a particular platform because everything art related seemed to be NFT.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, like
still seems that way.
Yeah. I don't know if I can mention a platform on here, but I don't even go on Clubhouse like that anymore. I turn my alerts off because everything art, nobody was just speaking as artists. They just had to put it within a certain shell, like NFT art. Like, no, it's art. Let's just talk art for a second, you know?
Yep.
I don't want to hear you try to promote a certain platform to buy and sell these things off of. And from that point, I vowed, like, yo, I will never come out as Robzilla to sell NFTs.
Yeah.
You made that. I will always collaborate with somebody larger than me.
Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha.
So when the Capitals called, my mind was blown. Because I know I've done work with them, but my work doesn't move. My work is flat. My work is two-dimensional.
Sure.
But what I was more amazed at was, you know, the Caps, they all fall under this one business called Monumental Sports and Entertainment. So you got the Caps, you got the Wizards, you got the Mystics, you got the DC Go-Go.
Oh, okay. All under the same company.
All in the same company. And they wanted to come out with NFTs for both the Capitals and the Wizards. So I thought it was going to be the Wizards that I was picked for.
Ah, gotcha. Yep.
But I was picked for the Caps, which I'm fans of as well, because there's plenty of times I've drawn while watching the Caps.
Yeah.
And but the unique thing was for both the Wizards and the Capitals, they called on two-dimensional artists, myself and Naturel.
Cool.
Cool. Naturel work is crazy. You talk about branding and knowing something when you see it, you automatically know his work. He doesn't have to sign anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I was nervous at the same time because I don't animate. I mean, I'm learning it now. You know, I got the Cintiq over here. I'm starting to learn Blender and
you know,
messing around with that stuff.
Ooh, I can't wait to see what you're doing there.
That's cool. Man, I can't either. But they called on me and, you know, they had a certain number of NFTs that they wanted to do. We had to get rid of one of them because it just wouldn't work out with what we had in mind to do. But they said they wanted the banner, they wanted the ring, they wanted the puck, and they wanted the retro jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, in a normal world, I can do these things flat and have fun.
Yep. Yep.
But how can I do these things to make them NFT worthy for what I already know about NFTs? So I brought in my management or my rep. I'm a part of Attribute. And Attribute has a department where they have animators. So So my rep Aaron, he was like, Rob, don't worry, we'll just bring in one of our animators.
To take what you've done and make it move.
Make it move.
Gotcha.
The timeline was so short, you know, a lot of people got crossed out, and it was and we ran into Pablo, and Pablo was a godsend because he made those NFTs move. Wow, really? Within a short period of time, with the the jacked up art direction by Robzilla, he was able to make these things do what I want them to do. We made the Screaming Eagle fly onto the retro jersey and then fly off.
Oh, awesome. Wow. Wow.
We made the championship ring assemble by piece, starting with the bare metals and everything just start to clash onto it. And you can see the ring react to things snapping onto it.
Wow.
Diamond by diamond too. Those diamonds, dang. That was like a week's worth of work. Drawing all those diamonds.
Drawing all the diamonds.
Yeah. Oh gosh. But we made the puck spin. We wanted the puck to drop and then spin, but it started to look a little corny to watch that looped over and over again.
Gotcha.
So we just made it spin. And on one side we had the logo, the Capitol building logo. That's what the Caps had when I first moved to town here 20 years ago.
Yep.
But with the current colors on it, not the blue gold,
mm-hmm.
you know. Also, the Wizards had the same thing going on. It was a Jordan era when I first moved here. Jordan was playing for the Wizards.
The end of his career.
Had that blue and gold and, you know, Rip Hamilton. And they say that Jordan traded Rip Hamilton because he wouldn't pass him the ball enough. but you know, all of those things just came into play, and I'm still at awe about it because, you know, I'm a Caps fan, but you know, I'm not the biggest Caps fan out there because I'm a transplant. You know, hockey wasn't broadcast as broadly as it is when I was growing up in South Carolina. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's you know, I jumped into these different pools of sports once I got here.
Yeah.
You know, just to dip my toes into it. And then, you know, I got emerged all the way up to my eyeballs in this stuff once I got here. Even to the point that I was even considering being a Orioles fan.
Mm.
They made it kind of hard not knowing the history. So once I found out that the Nats is coming here, I was like, oh, no. I'm going to go ahead and be a part of this new thing happening.
The new thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Washington.
Yeah, shout out to Todd Radom because, you know, he did the branding for the Nats when they first got here.
Yeah.
And that's how I was able to go to Game 3 of the World Series.
Oh, no kidding. Oh,
we won it, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, man.
He did a great job, too. You're wearing the hat right now.
Yeah, the curly W.
Yeah, the curly W.
They call it the ass hat because the humps on the W look like a butt cheek.
I didn't know that.
Awesome. You know, I got some cruel friends that like other teams.
I love it. It's an awesome W. Now I'll never unsee that. But
yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm glad I'm not.
I won't shake my head no because that's just like booty shaking right now. Like. I won't do it.
So good. That's awesome. So you, I think it's interesting what you said about making it NFT worthy. So you're actually like considering the gravity of an NFT, and a lot of what I'm seeing is not treated that way at all. And it's more like, I hate to say that. I'm so conflicted on NFTs in general, but part of me
everyone is. Even though people tell you that they all for it, there's still some conflict.
I'm not sure about like a lot of. I think one of the problems I have with a lot of them is like the primary motivator is financial rather than the art. Like you were saying earlier, like it's why aren't we talking about art? That's what it is. I think the mechanics of it are interesting in terms of like making sure people are credited and the collectible nature of it is cool. Obviously that's been around for ages with
even baseball resale, cards or whatever. Even a resale. Like.
Yeah, and resale and that kind of thing. But so that's cool. I think what's interesting is this like get rich quick kind of atmosphere that we have right now that's getting a lot of people excited about it. And it's less about the art, right? And then more about the I could make a ton of money just throwing this JPEG up. So it was really cool for you to hear to, you know, that you were actually taking the time to say, well, this is going to be an NFT. Like, how can I make this, how can we elevate the quality of this, you know, to a certain level?
And I didn't want Caps fans to be outside my house with a pitchfork and torches because I misrepresented something that they love dearly. Like, wow. There was so a lot of consideration into this. I just thought that would be so fun, and I wish that we could rotate the ring, but it wasn't enough time.
Yeah,
to do the frame by frame to make the ring rotate and then come all the way to full frontal.
Yep.
At the end of the loop. Gotcha. That was the original idea.
Mm.
All of the NFTs sold out.
Wow. Okay. So it was a success. Like the whole thing was a success.
Yeah. And would I do it again? Yeah. I would love to have more time because I actually wanted to take that opportunity to be like NFT University.
Yeah.
Enough time to learn how to make my stuff move myself.
Okay.
Yep. And complete the project.
Yep.
That would have been awesome. But it's some more layers to the NFT. Like, I'm supposed to go to a Caps game and meet the person who purchased.
Oh, no way.
The final
That's
thing.
That's awesome. Wow.
And that within itself is cool. They took good care of me, man. Like,
yeah.
I already had the Robzilla jersey from working with them earlier because that's my resume. If I work with a team, I want a jersey from them.
I love that.
Robzilla number three.
Number three for third.
And, you know, middle fingers to the Philadelphia 76ers because y'all still owe me a jersey, even though y'all couldn't produce one with the number three on it. Y'all still owe me a jersey.
Is their number three retired or something?
It's retired. It's Iverson.
Okay. Allen Iverson.
So I said, okay, give me one with zero on it. And, you know, of course, talks just got quiet after that. I don't even know if the folks are still working there.
All right. So they owe you one.
They owe me. They owe me zero.
Get the masses after that. They owe you zero.
They owe me zero. Robzilla.
That's really a great it's a great payment thing. Or hopefully it's not payment. Hopefully it's like
it's perk.
Perk. There you go. That's it's a perk. Would you ever do work for the Red Sox?
Yeah, definitely.
I was asking as a fan.
I'm thinking
I would love to see it. That's the thing. I would personally love to see it.
I've met their creative team in some shape or form in past.
Oh, cool.
There's a conference for sports creatives.
Is there really?
It's called MLC. So Major Level Creatives.
All right. That's awesome. I got it.
It's an annual thing where all these sports creatives, you know, over 240 markets, both like professional college and companies involved that get together and we share our war stories and we go through and we share things that you normally can't share with some folks. You know what I'm saying? Like there might be some type of NDA on something that I did for Nike Baseball.
Right.
But I can go to MLC and do a full presentation on it and show those folks that stuff, you know, just so.
And those are the people that would be hiring you for other jobs.
Other
too,
stuff,
right?
too. Yeah, so when I got the opportunity to speak there, man, I was like, whoa, this is a chance for me to show these teams what I can do. Awesome. And that's the only reason why I was ever on Instagram. I want to show you what I can do. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, then that's cool too. You know.
Did that help you get on the ESPN broadcast?
That was Apple.
That was Apple. Oh, cool. Yeah.
That was Apple.
Wow. Smart of them.
I had a person there who had his eye on me. and we became good friends. But he had that plan before the intro email even came into my inbox.
Oh, wow.
So I'm one of those folks who is kind of privy to say that I may never buy another iPad again.
Yeah, nice. Good.
And with a smile.
Yeah.
Not out of anger.
Yep. Right. You're still using them. Yeah.
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 I'm still using it. I still love it to death, but I don't have to go in my wallet and buy one.
Right.
But I remember when I got the call for it about ESPN, I was on my way to my in-laws for Thanksgiving. And I got a text from a man, Andy. He's no longer with Apple. He moved on. But he was like, "Hey, Zilla, how you feel about being on ESPN SportsCenter?"
Wow. Jeez, that must have been a shock, right? Like,
and I swerved because the alert popped up while I was driving. So how you get that little line across the top of your device.
Preview. Yeah.
He's like, call me at your soonest. So of course, you know, I yelled at Apple's assistant to reply back and say, "I'll call you as soon as we hit a rest stop. I'm on my way to North Carolina." So. Luckily, my sons had to use the restroom. So we decided just to make that we're going to stop, get something to eat and everything. So they went inside the restaurant to go take care of their biological needs. And I hopped on the phone with Andy and we hashed out a plan. It didn't go according to plan.
Yeah, it didn't.
Nothing goes according to plan because it's not our space to plan it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
But it was greater than what we planned. That's always the rules. Like, nothing go according to how Rob Zilla plans it, but it's always ends up being bigger than what Rob Zilla could ever imagine.
Yeah.
So we were supposed to be on the morning AM show at the time. And the producer thought it would be a cool idea since I was from Maryland. If I was on Scott Van Pelt's.
Late
that night because, you know, he's
prime
a big
time.
Yeah, he's a big Maryland person.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, I get to meet Scott. Even to this day, it's not real.
Yeah, it was that.
That's cool. Why it's on my Twitter, because if I go on there and I look at it, it's still like, that didn't happen. And like cognitively, the show was so late that I was on autopilot the whole time.
Yeah.
I was high off of Mountain Dew and sour gummy worms, you know.
Staying awake.
Yeah, that's what I had before that. I was just trying to stay awake and perform. And it was no nerves involved because I had already done some stuff with Adobe Live. So I'm used to cameras being around. And, every time I drew in the past, I would always draw as if there is a camera on me. Mm. So I kind of trained for it. And it was a wonderful experience. I wouldn't mind revisiting it again because he did mention, you know, about me coming back.
It's this perfect marriage of what you do and what they do, and it just makes sense.
Yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Yeah. It also taught me that there is absolutely nothing but ESPN in that part of Connecticut.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know. I've actually been there in my early freelancing days. Had some work there. Yeah, you're right. It's like, it's so bizarre, right? It's in the middle of nowhere, Connecticut.
Yeah, and I went to the wrong mall. It's like two malls, and I went to the wrong one. It was why did you go to that one? And I was like, because the other mall, the name doesn't sound like it's a mall. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I wanted to get a pair of sneakers from somewhere to be like, yeah, I got these when I was on ESPN. You know?
Yeah, right.
But nah, I didn't have that opportunity because that mall I went to was busted. Like, it's like, ugh.
That's funny. Well, Rob, thank you so much, man. I could chat with you all day, honestly, about all this stuff. I mean, honestly, a big, huge fan. So thanks for coming on here. And where's the best place for people to find you? Like, what if you had to pick one? Like,
find me on the gram.
Yeah, your Instagram. Yeah,
cool. Yeah, RobZilla3.
RobZilla3.
Roman numeral 3 was like some underscores in between everything.
Yes.
So Rob_Zilla_.
We'll link it up in the notes for sure. But yeah, I mean, thank you so much for being on. Thank you for sharing what you do, like, you know, with your teaching and your tributes to people. And like, I don't know, just big fan of your art. So thank you.
Yeah, man. Love what you do, Dan.
Hey, thanks. Rob. Appreciate it. We'll see you again. We'll keep watching. I love it. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
That's a wrap on episode 13 of The Simple Bit Show. I'm Dan Cederholm. Thank you to my partner, Melissa Allegrini. Thank you to RobZilla for being our guest. Thank you to AeroPress for sponsoring this episode. Thanks to all of you for listening. Please rate and or review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. That would help us out immensely. Check out simplebits.com for fonts and other goodies, and we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks.